Good morning, everybody. It is 7:30 a.m. in Detroit, Michigan, and I have with me this morning the most wonderful, high-energy, transparent, sincere, kind man who I heard on a podcast that he did, and I am so honored that he took the time to be with us this morning, and his name is Barrett Henson. And Barrett, could you tell us who you are?
Oh man. Well, first and foremost, like Lois, thank you so much for having me. Like, absolutely love what you do. And love what you stand for. Love the mission that you have. Like, it just resonates with me. I'm in the fitness space. And while I own a Fit Body Bootcamp location, which is like boutique fitness, for small group personal training, but in a group setting. So, which I absolutely love. So I own a location in Berkeley, Michigan. But one of the neat things is I work for the franchise and I'm the executive director of coaching. So I get to create the client experience and the exercise science programming and really kind of shape how we interact with coach and really care for our clientele, which to me is just like, that's everything when it comes down to service and in the service industry, it's serving people. So I really like, love that. I love what you do. And I'm just excited to be here.
So what is your story? Can you share with us how you got to do this work?
And sorry about that, Frank. My little dog's getting a little fun. Somebody's here, but shoot. So I actually, right out of school, I didn't go right into fitness. Fitness was always been a part of my life. I was fortunate to play sports in high school and college, and that was a really like kind of a rock in my development. It was like my go-to place that, you know, stress or this or that, but it kept me going, and it also really helped in sports. So when I got out of school, I graduated with a business degree as well as a communication studies degree, and got into construction management. So I was really, again, dealing with people, which is very, very important, but building very, very big electrical infrastructure projects all across the US and Canada. And after doing that for about 10 years, about 8 years, give or take, I ended up taking a sabbatical, moved to Central America. And which is really life-changing. Always wanted to learn Spanish. And while I was down there, I met a young man, and this is just is still to this day, it sits with me. And I was talking to him. His name was Francisco. And he wanted to learn English. I wanted to learn Spanish. And, you know, we just had kind of the best time, like really connecting. And come to find out, you know, this man, he was making $300 a month US, and he was so happy, so happy. And I'm sitting here like talking to him with envy, you know, because I'm like, man, this guy has it figured out. He's with his family. He's doing all these things. He's doing what he loves. He's being with everybody in who is most important to him. And I sat back at that point. I was like, why am I not doing that that's most important to me? And it was a very eye-opening experience. And that was 10 years ago, about this time when I was in Central America. And long story short, at that time, it was kind of like, well, why aren't you doing that? And I had a fortunate enough trip. My brother met me down in Panama City, Panama, when I was taking a little weekend trip. And he convinced me to do it during that time. He was like, you know what, man, you are meant to do this. You are meant to do this. I don't know how, I don't know why. And, kind of at that time, you know, it's like, you're just at the right place at the right time and right place in your life to kind of hear that. And, everything, all things considered, I knew that fitness was my love. That's what kept me going. Even when I was in Central America, you find a gym, you make sure that you take care of yourself first, you know, fill your cup first. And as I started doing more and more of that, it was like, man, I think I'm called to do this. And, at the age, I was 30 years old at that time. And, at that point I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to do this. I'm going to take a risk and be out on my own and see what I can make for myself. And, one of the best, or I should say the best decision that I've made, because entrepreneurship, I think, is one of the biggest self-development journeys you can ever, you know, voluntarily select for yourself. And self-development, I think, is the name of the game. Because if you're going to serve something, like serve your future self. I think that's an amazing concept to kind of live by.
And what about your story? Did you ever have a time in your life when you struggled and then found a way to pass through that?
Oof, yeah. I mean, I think life, there's always, struggles. And I think every struggle that you have prepares you to take on the next struggle. And, certainly owning a gym, entrepreneurship, that is a massive struggle on so many things. Not only are you dealing with people, from the people who are you're working with to kind of lead them, but also, the clients, the people who you serve. So a lot of that for sure. But I would tell you the greatest struggle that I probably had was the hardest point in my life, and that was my parents getting divorced when I was very young. I was 6 years old. I was living down in Georgia with my brother, sister, mom, dad, nuclear family. Everything was, amazing on the surface. But oftentimes, the surface is just the surface, and what was happening underneath, it was not the greatest of marriages, in the sense of, my dad struggled with substance, an addiction, not only to substance but also to gambling and some other things, and not the best environment to raise a family on. And my mom did one of the most, I would say the bravest things that anybody could do is just take your family out of something that's a very, very, very tumultuous and challenging situation. And do everything you can, jump without seeing the ground. And that's essentially, what she did by getting us out of that situation, moved up to Michigan. And man, that was change. That was tough. And I think at the age of six, seven, when you're going through, and anytime, like human beings, we don't really like change. Most humans, we're creatures of habit. And when that change is, really hits to your core being, who you are, the people who you love, and the people who you're around all the time. Those changes oftentimes hurt or create the biggest kind of collateral damage impact that you have. And for me, that was, the nuclear family. It was no longer there. And I went to a school where, I looked left, I looked right, and I am clearly the odd boy out. Not only did I have a southern draw, and it was my mom always says, "Oh man, I really wish I had some videos of you," because I spoke with a very southern draw. So very, very comical. There used to be something or a tape, but don't have that anymore. But man, that was tough because you look around your first, second, third grade, and you're like, "Oh, where's your dad? What does your dad do?" And you're like, "I don't know. I haven't seen my dad in, a couple years or a couple months or this or that." And the older you get, you cope, you deal with things. But that was challenging, and it especially got challenging when you got to middle school and you start having father-son games and things like that. And that's one aspect of the struggle, the emotional struggle. The physical struggle was also there too. You go from a dual income, family down to, just your mom who's working in an administrative position, living with your grandma. We had five of us under one roof. It was a very, very modest three-bedroom house that I'm sharing a room with my brother. My mom is sharing a room with my sister. Just the times were not the greatest. And that was hard as a kid. That was really, really hard, And I think at that time, again, you don't really understand it. You don't get it. Stuff isn't right, but you kind of feel helpless, hopeless, and powerless. And I think that was the emotional struggle that I had. If I was to kind of, put it all, I was helpless at that because I couldn't control anything that was happening. I was kind of at the mercy. And that's not a good feeling. Whether you're an adult or a child, that's just not a good feeling when you feel helpless. And oftentimes people look to cope and they look to soothe. How do they do that? For me, I look to cope and soothe externally. And we all have, different things that we go to. And for me, I chose sports. Sports was my thing that I least latched on to. And I think on the initial front, a little bit selfishly, it was self-soothing. I knew that, I was pretty athletic at a young age and I did pretty well. And what happens when you're a good athlete on the sports field? You get recognized. You get recognized by everybody. So for me, that was like, oh my God. Like, as a kid, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 years old, all of a sudden you were abandoned. And now you have value. people, dads, parents are like, oh, we want you on our team because, that kind of helps us win, right? So I'm like, I just gravitated towards that initially. But I fell in love with it. I fell in love with a lot of it. And I think one of the greatest things that I fell in love with was the mentorship from coaches. And, where I was in my life, I had a void. The void was a strong male, parental figure at home. And don't get me wrong, my uncles and my cousins, they did everything they could. Just not the same, candidly, but I'm so grateful for them, and I'm so grateful for all the coaches that I've ever had, because they gave me the gift of their time, which on this in this planet, that's the greatest gift you can give somebody. And I think that, it's just so powerful, especially the older you get, the more you realize that. And that's actually the strongest amount of gratitude that I have for parents who sacrifice everything so that their kid, is able to maybe play sports, maybe try this or try that. I started to appreciate that a great deal. And I also just, again, gravitated toward that community aspect, that community feel of competition. And I found a great deal of like personal just fulfillment from that, not only from an individual fulfillment, but it was like I was part of something bigger than just myself. And there's a quote from Simon Sinek that really like hits, and it just like makes me think about this. And he said that when people are financially vested, they want a return. But when people are emotionally vested, they want to contribute. And I like talk about like a quote that like rocks you, when I hit that. And I was like, that was me. I wanted to contribute. And I think like the older I've gotten, that is what I look for. I look for people who are emotionally invested because they want to contribute. And I just think that contribution, like being in an environment like that, is such a powerful environment. Like, get out the way because you're not going to stop. You're going to pretty much get anything that you're going to put your mind to if you get a bunch of people who are going in that same direction. And I think, like, to me, that's why team sports, that's why sports in general, and that's why the profession that I'm in now is so valuable. I run it like a sports organization, like a sports team. We're all together, we're all doing this. And if somebody needs help, guess what? I'm going to go there and help you. And that's just kind of how we do. That's what I expect. And I think that, that's the environment that I thrived in, and it really helped me at the lowest of the lows in my life. And, if you want to, make a change, then why don't you be the change? And that's kind of been my mantra when I come around, that. And that's partly why I've gotten to the place that I've gotten to within, the fitness world and in the mentorship world. Because I think that's just real important. Not just for physiological health, but just for overall well-being.
So if you meet somebody who's struggling and feels that they don't belong anywhere and they just can't get out of this rut, is there a, oh, I know you do you share your story of your childhood, yes, but is there anything else that you say that encourages them and lets them feel that emotional energy that you have to get them to want to do and make their
Yeah.
body stronger?
It's interesting. And that's a great question, Lois. I mean, I really like to kind of put it this way. When somebody's struggling and they're going through and they like walk through our door, like I always say this, the heaviest weight that any client will ever lift is the front door the first time they walk through the door. Always. Like that is it. I mean, I understand that being in the fitness space can be intimidating. And I fully get that. I absolutely will not accept that in our community. That's why my coaches hold the door open when people are coming. I want them coming in. But I also think that if you are struggling with something, like I strongly recommend somebody to take a walk. Like just take a walk and do something that is whatever you're the benchmark of difficulty is that is going to be a little challenging for you. You know, so maybe it's a jog, maybe it's a walk, maybe it's a bike ride. Doesn't matter. Do something that's a little bit hard. And the reason being is because when it becomes a little bit hard, you forget about everything else that's happening in your life because the only thing that you're thinking about is, oh, shoot, this walk, this jog, this run, this bike ride is physically hard. That's the only thing you can think about in that 10, 20, 30 minutes, however long you're going. It doesn't have to be long. It could be a 5-minute bike ride, a 5-minute walk. The only thing you're thinking of is, this is hard. I can't wait till it's done. And then once it's done, how do you feel? You feel accomplished. Like that's what you, all of a sudden you feel accomplished. And that little accomplishment is a micro victory. It's a little win. And if you stack that over and over and over and over and over and over and over, all of a sudden you've strung a whole bunch of wins together. What do? You develop self-confidence. And self-confidence is essentially just keeping the promises that you've made to yourself. I'm going to go take a 5-minute walk. I'm going to drink an extra glass of water today. I'm going to read this book for 5 minutes today. I'm going to do this today. And all of a sudden, once you do those little things over and over and over, you start to feel good about yourself. And when you stack wins like that, like all of a sudden you continue to feel good. It's like a snowball. And I think here in Michigan, we can all think about a snowball, right? And all of a sudden you're kind of making that snowball, and then you turn it into a big old stinking snowman because you pushed it so much. And that's what happens with your confidence when you start doing hard things. I fully believe that. And now hard is a subjective word, and it's subjective to everybody's heart. Find your heart, whatever that heart might be. But I also think if you get around people who are also doing things that might be hard for them, all of a sudden you start feeling good about each other. Like that just builds together. And I think, physical fitness, when you do things together, just think about like military boot camp. When you think about military boot camp, the people who come out of their boot camp, like 8-week program together, are the closest that they'll ever be because it's shared physical stress, it's shared physical connectivity. And when you can share something like that, you build strong bonds together, and it's also difficult. So you not only do you build emotional resiliency for yourself, but you build emotionally resiliency as a unit. And I just think like those two things, if you can have that emotional resiliency in life, it's going to help you in any other aspect of your life, whether it's work, whether it's being a parent, whether it's volunteering, no matter what you're doing, like doing hard things at the time. Yeah, it's not that fun. COVID was not fun. It was one of the worst like times when you think about it from a business owner, from a business climate, from just a social climate. But I'm so grateful for that stress. Because now on the other side, I've learned so much from it. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of hardships and hard lessons that I absolutely did not want to learn. But at the end of the day, like you can't do anything about what was there. All you can do is concentrate on what you can control. And for me, it was, how am I going to respond to this? How am I going to help the people around me respond to this? And I think the more that you do hard stuff, the more you're willing to be like, okay, this isn't fun. This kind of stinks right now, but hey, let's figure it out. It's going to be okay. And that is why doing hard stuff can actually be the most rewarding thing in your life.
Well, I wanted to thank you. You've given us the gift of your time and your passion. And Barrett, keep doing what you're doing to inspire others. So thank you.
Appreciate that, Lois. Thank you so much for having me.